One mic, one voice. You can change the world, it's your choice. One mic, one voice. You can change the world, it's your choice. One mic, one voice. You can change the world, it's your choice. One mic, one voice.
Welcome to the One Mic, One Voice show, Building the Collective Conscious, a show that is created to give space where your voice, ideas, and informed opinions can be heard, appreciated, and debated. I am Michael Eric Owen.
And I'm DT.
Oh, man.
We're bringing our 117th
one
episode.
To the seven,
to
huh?
To the seven.
That's exciting, man. It's been a great ride. It's Father's Day, right? And want to say shout out to all the fathers out there that are doing the things that they need to be doing in the lives of they have been trusted with. And, you know, it's not, you don't have to have biological kids
right.
to be a father figure. Let's just put that out there right now. You can impart some sort of, I think, morals and values to our young people. And sometimes we need to be a father to each other. you understand what I'm saying?
Accountability.
And absolutely. And, you know, today, man, we have an exciting show. And I'm going to introduce our guest that's in the studio. And I'm so happy to have him here. The title of our show today is The Art of Leadership. The Art of Leadership.
Because it is an art, right?
It's an art. It's an art. And we're going
to
learn a lot about it, have some deep conversation about it. But in the One Mic, One Voice studio. Man, you know what? We didn't stepped it up a notch now. So I don't know. You know, sometimes you want to build up. We had 117. But we have Adrian Griffin in the studio with us. And if you've ever done any research on Adrian, one thing you know, his resume is vast.
Extensive.
And I was talking to my boy this morning in Milwaukee. And I said, man, we're going to have Adrian Griffin on the show. He said, man, he said, didn't he play for Dallas? I was like, yeah. He's on the show today. So he jealous. That's okay. That's okay, because we benefit from that. But Adrian currently is a top assistant coach for the Oklahoma City Thunder right now. And he has coached throughout the league. He is a baller himself. Let's put it like that. He played in the association from 1999 to 2008. He's from Seton Hall. All right.
Yeah.
He's from Seton Hall, man. Had a spectacular collegiate career. Matter of fact, in 2010, they inducted him into the Seton Hall Hall of Fame. Oh, man. He's well respected, not just in Oklahoma City, but throughout the league. And we've had some athletes on here before. But I think this time we took it to another level, someone that sees the game not just from a player's perspective, but from a coach perspective. And what better person to talk about leadership, one that has been showing leadership throughout his career and his professional life. And on a personal note, man, I have to say, man, this is one of the most humble, gentle brothers that I have met, man. He greeted me with open arms, man. The first time I extended my hand to him, he gave me time. And I know being a Thunder coach, every time you go out, somebody's trying to get something from you and get in your grill. But, man, he was just so humble, man, and just talked to me. And we've been able to establish a relationship. So Adrian, man, just welcome to the One Mic, One Voice show.
Oh, thank you, man. I appreciate you guys having me on. Looking forward to it. It's amazing. You guys are doing some good stuff.
Well, we appreciate it, man. And I wanted to – there was this clip that that LeBron James talks about leadership. And most folks know I'm again, I'm from Milwaukee. I'm a Bucks fan, right? But I'm a Thunder fan. I'm here. I represent I'm at. No doubt.
You're doing a lot better than people who live here and still hate on the Thunder, so.
Right. So, man, you know I'm a Thunder Flash. You know I'm a Westbrook fan. But I'm also a LeBron James fan because I think he is a stand-up guy. And he says some things very interesting about leadership. And we talked about the art of leadership. So let's just take a listen to what LeBron's talking about.
On your word, it allows the guys that you're leading, male or female, to be able to say, okay, we can follow this person because he won't let us down. You have to accept it. I think some people are born with it, but some people learn it as well. And, you know, for me, as the leader of our franchise and the leader of my household and the leader of so many, you know, different things, I think it's the confidence, but it's also you practicing what you preach. I'm not a guy who just talks about it. I actually go out and do it as well from a basketball perspective or from a leadership perspective with my kids and my foundation. You know, we have a promise initiative where they promise me that they will go to school, they will listen to their teachers, they'd be great to their classmates, and I promise them that I will continue to be a great role model, a father figure for them, and not let those guys down. So I take that responsibility, and I don't just talk about it, I actually do it as well. So when you're able to come through on your word, it allows the guys that you're leading, male or female, to be able to say, okay, we can follow this person because he won't let us down. No matter if it's going good or bad. You know, every day is not a bed of roses. We understand that, and you have to be able to handle adversity as well.
Well said. I mean, that's
very well said.
That's someone speaking, of course, from his experiences as a professional basketball player, but also influencing others throughout his life. And he said something in there that I just want to just spend just a couple of seconds kind of talking about, because people always ask me, are leaders born or trained? Mm-hmm. And so, hey, what's some of your thoughts about?
I think leadership is something that we all can learn. People are gifted, you know, when they come into this world in certain skills, and we all have those. But leadership is definitely a trait that you can develop over time. And, you know, one thing that I thought was interesting what LeBron said is about showing up and being the same person each day. We could all do that, you know, and that's how you gain trust. You know, when you're the same person. One thing, you know, as a player, a lot of players hate when the head coach would talk to, you know, the star players one way, and then they get down to guys like me, and they just cussing us out and stuff. And you like, well, he making the same mistake,
yeah.
You don't say anything to him. And, you know, that's part of leadership, is just having the integrity. And I think that's what LeBron is talking about as well, is that can you walk the walk, not just talk the talk. And I think it's just important for leaders to their actions have to match their words. Mm. And I think that's what LeBron is talking about. And he's a phenomenal leader, probably one of the best we've seen. You don't go to the finals eight times in a row on luck.
Yeah.
You know, he's doing something special there.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. And you know, being the same person every day, I mean, that consistency – knowing what you get from a person. And we all can probably put ourselves in a position where we did not know. It was a Jekyll or the Hyde, right?
Right.
You did not know what you were going to get. You know, Monday was different than Friday, right? Yeah. And you can't, like you say, the key thing is you can't have trust. And trust is so vital in everything that we do, right? Dealing with Father's Day. I mean, your kids have to trust. Right, that you're consistent. Right, that
Absolutely.
You're going to be there. That you're going to respond a certain way. And if you don't, then man, once trust is gone, it's hard to reestablish it. It's hard to reestablish it, folks. Listen, we have Adrian Griffin in the studio with us. We're talking about the art of leadership. And we got to pay a few bills. DT over here looking at me like, man, listen, you better take a break. So, folks, listen, we're going to take a break. Yeah, we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back.
Oklahoma Humanities Brain Box podcast uses the humanities to take listeners on a deep dive into the issues affecting American society and culture. Join some of Oklahoma's most interesting and knowledgeable humanities scholars to explore how history, literature, ethics, philosophy, and other humanities fields inform our understanding of current events and the human experience. And to find the Brain Box podcast, simply search Brain Box Podcast on iTunes, Podbean, Google Play, and any other podcasting library. If you have any ideas or comments rattling around in your noggin, email us at brainbox@okhumanities.org.
This is Dr. Laura Gelat, and when I listen to podcasts, I always listen to the One Mic, One Voice show.
Welcome back, folks. We're going to get deeper into this thing called the art of leadership. Leadership. Maybe you're a leader. Maybe you're a dynamic leader. But maybe you're going to be a leader that we're going to describe here in just a few moments. And I don't think you want to be in that category. But the reality that we're all leading someone. Someone's looking to us. Someone, we're modeling our lives, our decisions. We're modeling something for someone. And the question is, are we influencing them in a very positive way? And that's really my definition of leadership. So let's define what leadership is.
I would say for me, leadership is knowing who you are first. You know, you can't lead anybody until you lead yourself. And so what are your values? Well, like what do you hold true to yourself? What are you convicted on? What are you willing to go down on? I always say, you know, just be convicted on the right stuff, you know. And there's like basketball, there's some just basic fundamentals, right? You got to shoot the ball, you got to dribble, you got to pass, you got to be a good teammate. Those are the fundamentals of basketball. And then there are fundamentals of leadership. You got to know your values, you know. You have to know how to treat people, how to motivate people, and you got to show up each day. One of the most underrated things I believe the leaders can have is enthusiasm, because it's contagious. You know, your followers are going to feed off of your energy. And a lot of leaders just don't understand that concept for some reason, because we're all human beings, right? And so if the leader comes in a good mood, usually that trickles down to everybody else. But if they're in a poor mood, a bad mood, then it sets the tone for the team and the organization. So a lot of leadership just constantly each day, how do I get better as a leader? Just like your athletes or employees, you know, players spend a religious amount of time honing their craft. And I believe the same should apply for leaders. Like, what areas do I need to grow and get better in?
I think that's so important, that last point. Everything you said was important, but I'll emphasize that last point is that you have to work at that.
Absolutely.
It is not, you know, this idea that, you know, as I use the term, I didn't coin the term, but you I know you're familiar with this term. You're working on your doctorate in leadership, and we can talk about that later on if you want to. But this idea that you have a position authority, right? Mm-hmm. You're the boss, and all of a sudden you have all the resident skills to lead a team. No, you're just the boss, right? You were just given a position of authority. It hasn't been earned, right? There's no trust there. There's no relationship there. It's just a position. And I think too many people rest in that.
Absolutely.
I'm the boss, right? So this is how things are going to go. It's not leadership. D, what's your thoughts?
You guys both said a mouthful. Very, very too... great explanations of leadership. But in my own experience, you know, I think that, and to use a basketball reference, you know, being coachable, to see yourself as a learning machine, somebody who can take advice, can be led, first of all, and that being a kind of a foundation of how you go and approach people in the community, you know, meeting them where they are, certain things like that. practicing patience, modeling patience. I think that's a big thing for a leader to have. Because, you know, like you say, you're dealing with a lot, especially on a team of any kind. You're dealing with a lot of personalities, a lot of different types of people. And, you know, one attitude may rub you the wrong way. And it's like, man, you know, I don't like dealing with this guy. But, you know, you have to be able to be patient enough to, you know, teach that player or come on that person's level to be able to give them what they need to learn. Like you said, having a sense of self, you know, that trueness, knowing who you are, what your skills are, so you know what you bring to the table when you're a leader, I think is important, too. And having a sense of humility and humbleness about yourself, too, where you can go anywhere and pretty much function in any phase of reality or with people in general.
You hit on that identity thing, knowing who you are and what you are, which is so critical. What did Ellison say? The problem with Americans, Ralph Ellison, I'm quoting him, a problem with Americans is they don't know who they are. And if, as Adrian has said, if you don't lead yourself, you don't know yourself, know your values, how can you impart that to somebody else? I try to get people to understand that leadership is a separate category. You can be a great player. You can be a great technician, right? You can be an expert. But that has nothing to do with leadership, right? And I think throughout history, it has been infused, right? We think one goes hand in hand with the other. And we don't approach it as this is a skill set I need to acquire.
Absolutely. Right? I think to your point, times have changed. You know, when I was growing up, the coach, he was God. He was the king. You did not question authority, and if you did, you know, it was going to be swift consequences. So, but now, you know, fast forward to today's generation, and we've all touched on it, that position, leadership title is, you know, research shows that's probably the least influential a sense of leadership out there nowadays. And look at professional sports, where the athletes, they're making hundreds of thousands and millions of dollars than the coaches. So the players have probably just more influence and authority that the head coach have. So you can't throw that title around. You're going to have to learn how to communicate, how to motivate, how to build that trust. And also stay true to your values. And that's very important, because sometimes the pressure to win, some coaches kind of bend on their values. But you got to be able to do both. You got to have the relational side. And then obviously you have to have put the team first and the organizational side. And you just learn how to mix those two. And that takes skill. That takes time. It takes experience.
Experience. Wow.
Time.
I just can't just like walk in and do it. You know, I just can't like, you know, yeah, I'm the new guy. I just graduated. Now I'm the boss and I know everything.
I wish it was that easy. But, you know, you have to earn your stripes. You know, they call hard work for a reason, you know, because it's not easy. Leadership is certainly not easy, because you're dealing with a lot of human emotions and you have to learn how to navigate through that. And that takes experience. I've been doing this for 20 years, still learning. We touched on humility and coachability. So if we are asking our players to be coachable as leaders, we have to be coachable.
Absolutely.
You know, Coach, I love something you said on your on your Twitter handle, actually. You have, you know, of course, the 20 years of experience you mentioned, but you also say before developing the talent, develop the relationship. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, again, that goes to, you know, building trust. If you just broke down just leadership from the barest fundamentals, the first thing you got to do before anyone's going to listen to you is to build trust. A lot of leaders and coaches, they want to jump right into the team training, right? That's the on the court, the shooting, the dribbling, the drills. But they skip steps, because the very first thing you want to do is build those relationships. Because if I don't know you, if I don't trust you, you can have all the wisdom and knowledge in the world, but I'm not, you know, going to listen. You know, it's that kind of fight or flight syndrome that we all have. And before that you can even connect with somebody, you're going to have to disable that. You're going to have to say, hey, I'm a person that you can trust, and this is why. I care about you as a person. Like many coaches, they just want to jump into basketball instead of it's the small talk that makes a big difference. You know, hey, how you doing today? How's your kids? How's your mom? Players remember that because they don't want to be just treated as a paycheck or treated as someone that you're just trying to get something out of. They want to feel valued, and that's the basic fundamentals of being a human being. You want to feel respected. You want to feel valued. You want to feel safe. So the first thing you want to do is just set the tone on all those three things, and then they'll run through the wall for you. You know, once they believe that the trust is there.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well said. And we're talking about the art of leadership, and we're been looking at positive attributes of a leader. But there are some things out there that, you know what, if you fall into these categories, you might want to reevaluate what you consider leadership to be. So, D, why don't you take us through some of that?
Yeah, like you said, Mike, some of us just are terrible at leadership. Just are not getting the job done, don't know what to do, you know, where do I start? And if you're falling under these categories, like Mike said, you may want to take this time to, you know, check yourself before you wreck yourself. All right, so the first one is that you lack empathy. You know, caring for others and showing compassion towards your employees or people you work with doesn't make you look weak. As a matter of fact, great leaders understand the importance of empathy, and they aren't afraid to show their softer side to get in touch with individuals. So, you know, have a sense of humor, show warmth to those around you, practice relating to others, and try to see situations from someone else's point of view.
Well, let's hold up right there. Empathy. Now, we did a show on empathy. Remember that? We did one. It's back in the catalog somewhere. I don't know which one it is, but you can find it. Getting back to the original question, right, that I said I've been asked a lot, and are you born with it or not? Are you born with empathy, or can you learn empathy? I mean, is this one of these qualities that you talked about exactly, that you just come into the world with or without, right? Now, if you don't have it, you're probably narcissistic, and you're probably, we would say, a self-centered person. Maybe even you have sociopathic tendencies that we do see in a lot of leaders, right?
Right.
So let's talk for a moment about empathy, right? So how is it there or not?
Empathy, just like any skill, can be developed. Nobody is a finished product. I don't care if you're a veteran or a rookie. The one thing I really respected about Tim Duncan is, you know, he played 20 years, won 5 championships with San Antonio, but every off summer, going into the summer, he would say that I'm going to approach this as a rookie. And just think about this guy has won 5 championships, but he still had the humility to know that I don't know it. Everything. So when it comes to empathy, a lot of people think that it's about the leader just, you know, feeling sorry for someone else or, you know, putting yourself in their shoes, and that's true. But the real key to empathy is communication, because words are powerful, right? And so if I'm looking at you a certain way, I'm going to speak based on how I see you. So empathy allows me to see you in a way that is going to allow me to communicate to you in a way that's going to be effective. So if I don't know what you're going through, then the words that I say may be off point. I miss the target, you know, because you may have a lot of things going on in your life. You may be, you know, a child is sick or something wrong with a parent. So I got to be able, before I even talk to you, I got to put myself in your shoes so that I can build that trust. And that's the key part of empathy. It's not just so much being, like, people have a misperception about empathy, like you're being soft or not. But, again, words is that's all you have, and it's your currency, and you want to make sure that you're spending it wisely. Mm-hmm. There's so many leaders that speak to their followers and have no clue what that follower is going through. So if you can have that empathy perspective, like, okay, this guy just missed 5 or 6 shots. I know he's having some problems off the court. I might come at him a different way. You know, I might try to soften it up because I know what he's going through. And that's the whole point about empathy, is just to build that trust and communicate in a way that is going to help and not hurt.
And I think, in addition to what you said, which is so true, you have to want to know what folks are going
Absolutely.
Through. You see, and I think some people, just don't care, right? Simple as that. They just don't care. We have a question here from Eliza. She says, and I know this is directed toward you, Coach. Do you ever work with youth groups on how important it is to be a leader?
For sure. I'm always open to opportunities to give back. My father was a great role model, and he didn't have a father growing up, but he never used that as excuse. He was in the Navy, and he came home one day and
he
said,
"He was a smart man."
That's right. And he came home one day and said, "God told him to get into the ministry." So he had an honorable discharge, and we packed up everything, moved to Texas, and he started pastoring a small church. And then we moved to Tulsa, right up the street, and he enrolled himself into Rhema Bible School. And mind you, we didn't have a dime, but he never made excuses. He would take me and my older brother, and we would pick up cans to make extra money. He would take his house to house to cut yards. So, you know, if you're 8, 9, 10, and it was just so impressionable how he never gave excuses. And so that helped me so much in my life. Yeah. And I wouldn't be here if my father didn't set that example about just when we talk about that integrity, a walk in the walk, you know, talking the talk. And so I love speaking to others about, because I always say you can't outperform your self-image. So however you see yourself, that's how far you're going to go in life. And I talk to my players about this. How you see yourself, that's how you're going to perform. If you, like, I didn't get drafted, so I used to when I did make the NBA, and I'd be in the locker room with the Mavericks, and, you know, it was Dirk Nowitzki, Jason Terry, Jerry Stackhouse, and all these guys, and I would feel like an ant, you know. But I had to change my self-image of myself. And I said, you know, maybe I didn't get drafted, and maybe I'm not on a great contract like them, and maybe I'm not an all-star, but I can do X, Y, Z at a very high level. I can defend, I'm smart, I'm tough, I know the game. So I had to focus on my strengths. So many times we focus on our weaknesses, right? But when you really empower yourself and see what you bring to the table and work on those things, you increase how you see yourself. Yeah. And again, you can't go far in life unless you have a high identity. Like, this is who I am. This is where I want to be.
I love that.
Confidence.
I love that.
Absolutely.
I love that. You know, seeing yourself at your highest potential.
Absolutely.
That's beautiful, man. That just spoke to me. Let's hit on a couple more of these, and before we go to break here.
All right, how about you fear change?
Yeah, can't change is the only thing that's constant. That, death, and taxes.
You don't practice humility.
Well, okay, man. You know, oh my God, I can count on one hand the people I have worked for that are humble people. Mm-hmm. I've worked for a lot of people. But somehow, I don't know how a leader can be expect to influence the lives of others absent humility. Absent, you come second. right? Understanding that you are in a position not because you put yourself there, but maybe somebody, a lot of people opened up doors for you and you were blessed and that you have a perfect opportunity to give back. I mean, it's to be in a position with hubris, right? With all that pride. I just, you know what? It's and you under my voice know you're probably working for somebody like that.
Well, the thing when it comes to humility is that you have to remember that no one person knows everything, especially in today's global economy, society. If you even think that you know everything, that's a problem in itself.
Yeah, right.
So a lot of organizations and teams are they're moving to teams. Like they're moving to two or three people to help make these decisions because this one person simply can't do it.
Yeah.
And so you need that sense of humility. And also when you don't operate with humility, people want to see you fail, right? Like if you think you know everything and you don't want anybody's help, then a lot of times people are rooting against you, and you don't want that as a leader. You want everyone pulling for you and moving in the right direction.
Absolutely.
All right, Mike and Coach, this is a difficult one for most people. You avoid confrontation.
To me, that should be number one. Because in all actuality, like when you bring a team together, right, you're going to have your values. This person's going to have his values. This guy's going to have his certain beliefs. This girl's going to have her certain viewpoints. So it's important that you how do you align everyone's values? You know, you can't have four or five game plans. You got to have one game plan.
Yeah.
So how do you get everyone aligned? And sometimes that's going to come with confrontation, which is a good thing. You know, a lot of good comes out of conversation, confrontation. A lot of people want to avoid it. But a lot of times when you work things out, right, and you lay it out there and you talk and communicate, that's another way that you build trust.
Yeah.
You know, when you feel like everything's aired out and you feel heard. So confrontation to me is the number one thing that all leaders need to master. You need to take a seminar, a course, a conference, learn how to deal with conflict.
Yeah, I mean, when you think about it, the enemies of dealing with conflict is insecurity, fragility.
Fragility.
Right. I mean, if I'm an insecure person, right, and a fragile person, right, I can't deal with you disagreeing with me. Right. I can't deal with you having a different point of view. I can't deal with you having a better idea than me. Why? Because I'm the boss. And it stops with me, right? But if you have those, you need help. You need counseling. You need deliverance. Because clearly you can't lead people. Because if people feel like they cannot speak to you, or if you're passive aggressive, right, you're vindictive, you know, you're going to vindictive, you're going to come back and get a person. If you're doing that, then you can't lead people. And why does a person want to be a leader that doesn't want to lead anybody?
Right.
It doesn't make any sense, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, to add to your point, a lot of people avoiding confrontation is because we're human beings. Like, we want people to like us. Yeah. I want my players to like me. But at the end of the day, you want them to respect you. And that's the number one thing. Because after they respect you, they'll learn to like you. And you have to be able, and it goes back to what we're talking about, our values. Like, what do you hold true? What are you convicted on?
Because
the players will test you.
Yeah, I bet.
They test you.
I bet.
Wow. I mean, to make a point on what both of you guys are saying, especially Mike, you know, when the ego and your hubris is involved, you know, not being able to accept constructive criticism puts you in that category of fragility and, you know, avoiding confrontation because you just can't deal with it.
I'm a running high.
All right, so we've got another question. Okay, this is for Coach. It says, how do you handle difficulties such as players wanting to protest and voice their opinions?
I know that's been a touchy subject. I'm assuming that she's referencing to like the national anthem mm-hmm. and the players in the National Football mm-hmm. Association. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm treading lightly on that because I don't have a lot of experience. I think that at the end of the day, I think they just need to find a win-win solution. Mm-hmm. When you are hired by an organization, it just comes with certain things, and I'm not saying it's right or wrong. When we all go to work, you know, we have a boss, we have rules and regulations we got to adhere to. But on the flip side is that this is a new generation where people just are not just going to go along with something just to do it.
Yeah.
You know, this is not where you work for Ford, you know, back in the day, like for 30 years and then you retire. People want meaningful work. They want a purpose when they go to work. So I don't know the answer to that. I know that both parties are working hard to resolve it, and hopefully they come up, you know, with a win-win situation.
Yeah, it's a difficult position to be in, right, as an athlete.
Absolutely.
And wanting to express yourself. Especially when the contract might say contrary to that, right?
Right.
And there's, I've often thought that every individual has to take a stand for what they believe, mm-hmm. and then you have to be willing to accept the consequences.
Absolutely.
And sometimes those consequences, I mean, you think about Doc King. We're going to take a break here. You think about, Martin Luther King Jr. He took a stand and he lost his life. Mm. And that, you know, that's the ultimate, you know, sacrifice. But some things are worth, as they used to say back in the day, going yonder for. Folks, we're going to take a break and we'll be right back.
Hi everyone, this is Roxy Davis.
And this is Deborah Burris. And we are
the Roxy by Design Show. Our show is designed to bring healing as we share our stories while God redesigns our lives.
So take a ride with us.
So you can find us at
Podbean, iTunes,
Facebook and Twitter,
and
blackandstudios.com. So thank you everyone for listening to the Roxy by Design Show. You have a blessed day.
We love you.
This is DT of the One Mic, One Voice podcast. Just want to let you guys know you can go over to iTunes and search us at One Mic, One Voice, and be sure to rate and review our episodes. Let us know about any feedback that you have and what you enjoy about the episodes. Also, you can go over to Stitcher, where you can get the latest and freshest episodes of our podcast streamed directly to your smartphone or iPad. No downloading or syncing. How cool? Real smooth. Also, we'd just like to take the time to thank you for your time and for your energy and for spending time with us as we discuss the historical record of our time.
Welcome back. Yeah.
Okay.
Man, we in the studio with the coach. Oh man, the former NBA basketball player, just giving us so much valuable information on leadership, Adrian Griffin. Just excited to have someone that has seen so many different challenges when it comes to dealing with people, and not just as a co-worker or co-player, but really at the highest level, mm-hmm. dealing with athletes that, man, hey, you know, they pulling up in Maybachs.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And how
you
tell them
yeah, you know what I'm saying? But it really stuck out to me when you talked about that dynamics and then being able to influence them when really they're in a more power position mm-hmm. than you are. I mean, that's a great challenge, and a true leader of the game, of life, would understand how to maneuver that, man. And I can imagine in the end, man, you come out, learning things that you never thought that you would know, and applying skills that you never thought were possible simply because the dynamics were different.
And it's been a good thing because it pushes us yeah. as leaders to raise our game. You know, you just can't rely on your title anymore. Mm-hmm. You really have to have the skills to communicate. And that's what leadership really is all about, is how can I influence? I think John Maxwell puts it best when he says that leadership is nothing more and nothing less than influence. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And how do you influence this new generation yeah. when – you know, they have just as much power as you have, and they want, they want input. They want to feel valued and respected. And these are all good because it forces us to dig deeper as coaches, and it's shifted away. I think one of the topics we were going to talk about is where do you see leadership going, and I think that's one of the areas where how do I influence someone without having that quote-unquote power? You know, how can I build the trust? How can I get them to lead me when, you know, how do you lead a LeBron or Westbrook who have all the accolades in the world, you know? And the only way you do that is staying convicted to what you believe in, your values. And I always say just make sure you're convicted on the right stuff and everything will work out.
Yeah.
Wonderful. So, yeah, jumping back into our signals and signs of ineffective leadership, you know, that was one thing that our next one is that you're a poor communicator. Mm-hmm. And definitely can't be a poor communicator if you want to be in a leadership position.
What if I don't like people?
I might be in the wrong.
That's true, right? I mean, I don't know. I've worked with people that don't work for people that just don't like people. It's like that customer service position, right? You know, you're like at the counter, but you don't like people. Right. And it's like, so why are you like here?
Yeah.
Right? You know, if you despise people, right? All right. What else we got, D?
You're indecisive. Mm. Got to be able to make decisions.
Yeah.
Especially if you're responsible for lots of other people. The way you move, the way you think may be critical in depicting how the outcome is. And so that next decision you make could change everything.
Yeah.
So being decisive is something that's definitely necessary.
Yeah. And I would just make a quick note on that. I mean, we could have a whole conversation about decision making and how do you get to the right decision as a leader. You spoke on this, Adrian, earlier about how teams are coming together because the realize is that, you know, as we've heard, quote unquote, somebody say, I can solve these problems myself. Right. Well, you know, good luck with that. Right. What else we
man,
got?
You're just rolling right into the next one. So the next one of being an ineffective leader is that it's all about you.
Mm. Wow.
I got all the answers.
Mm. Hey, calm down. I not only have all the answers, right. But what about I want all the accolades?
About self.
Like, I'm the one that wins. I'm the one that gets the notoriety. Mm. And those under me, they will not outshine me, right? Hmm. I mean, that's a dangerous,
very dangerous
philosophy. Hmm. I was at a conference and I was teaching on leadership, doing a presentation. And after doing the question and answer, a lady got up and I felt so sorry for her. She got up and she said, "I need some pointers. I'm working for a boss that takes all my ideas and makes them his and micromanages me wants to control all the decisions I make, and I'm just totally miserable. What can I do?
The only thing that you really can do is have a conversation. You sit down with your boss and, you know, go in prepared and you say, you know, these are some of the issues that you need clarity on. And we all get to that point of our lives where we kind of draw the line in the sand. You know, I'm in my mid-40s, so I probably have a different outlook on life when I was in, you know, 24, 25. Sometimes you got to just take it, you know. Yeah. You're trying to make your way in the world. But there comes times in everyone's lives where you say, you know what, this is who I am. This is my values. This is what's important to me. And my brother would always, he was like wise before his time, and he's like a year older. Mm-hmm. But when we were little, in middle school and elementary, he would go to school with a bow tie and a briefcase.
Oh, wow.
But he would always tell me when we were little, and I never understood what he was saying. He said, people treat you the way you let them treat you. And it took me probably 20 years to understand what he was talking about. So, and sometimes people are not aware of how they're treating you. And that's why you have to have some resolve and being comfortable with having those tough conversations. And it's kind of led, especially if it's robbing your joy and where you're going to work and you're just not feeling fulfilled, there's no purpose, there's no joy, then something's got to give. And I would say before it gets to that, just sit down with your boss and have that transparent, candor conversation.
Yeah. And if that doesn't work.
There's other means.
That's right. That's right. Send your talents elsewhere.
Right. Absolutely.
And okay, D.
All right, our next one. So, you know, now we live in an era where everybody, like you said, is looking for purpose, looking for fulfillment. So they're doing everything they can to achieve that, whether that's staying up all night, working on their business plans, you know, becoming an entrepreneur, what have you. But this next sign that your leadership skills are not up to par is that your work-life balance is out of whack. So it says you're a workaholic machine, the first one in the office and the last one to leave at night. No one seems to know anything about your personal life, which is fine with you because you'd rather remain stoic and detached anyway.
Yeah. You know, work is work, life is life. And you have to strike a balance. I think, you know, a balance in everything that we do in life. And if your work becomes your life, that is a danger in itself, because I often say this at a person's funeral, you never hear him say, well, he was a great technician and he solved this, you know, he was a great lineman. No, they say he was a great friend. You know, he was there for me when I needed him, or we spent so many wonderful years together raising our kids. Right.
Right.
So when you gotta understand the essence of life.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. And where to place your energy and where not to. Because again, it goes back, if you die today, they're gonna put the ad in tomorrow. So they're looking for somebody to replace you. So you know, work is work and life is life. That's my opinion. How many more we got?
All right, we got two more. So this next one is you break your promises. Ouch. Not a person of your word. Not a person of integrity.
Well, trust, right?
Yeah,
trust
absolutely.
Is gone. Yeah. You know, <Yeah. laughs> it's a game changer. Okay.
And then the last one is you believe in excessive supervision, the micromanaging types.
Oh, what you doing over there? Huh? Let me know every step of the way that you're doing this job, right? And, I think that's a pretty good list of what not to do as a leader. Although I would say that many of those are more common than what should be in today's leaders.
No, absolutely. And I think everything on that list, you can get better. Mm. You just got to make a conscious effort of honing your skills. I think a lot of leaders now are hiring executive coaches to help them, you know, develop the necessary skills, just like the last one, micromanaging. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the easy fix.
Yeah.
People want autonomy now. They mm-hmm. want to have the freedom to do their job. And you're going to lose good people mm-hmm. if you don't adapt. So I think leaders are forced to change now.
Yeah, that's a good point. They will move on. We have another comment from Elijah for the coach. Does being a leader on the court help you in your daily life off the court?
Oh, absolutely. I think one of the reasons why that – I don't want to say I'm a great father, but one of the reasons why fatherhood is important to mm-hmm. me is because everything that I've learned as a coach and as a leader of what to do and what not to do. And I'm able to pass that on to my kids. I have four kids, two girls, two boys. I have two right. in college, mm-hmm. two in high school. So they're at that age where, you know, they're influenced by a lot of things out there. So coaching actually helps me because that's what we're dealing with, young men, right? Mm-hmm. And it's almost the worst time to get these guys in the NBA because they're transitioning from a young man and now they are trying to be a man and not necessarily knowing what that entails. And so you getting them in that gray area. And so it's a really important and critical time where we can have a great influence on the direction, you know, of their lives.
And I think we forget, too, that they are young men.
They are young right? men.
I mean, we look at them as if, you know, that they should be, you know, on our level of maturity. And when they have not experienced the world in which we have, they're talented, great young men, but they are young men. And that's a really good point that I think that is lost on the larger public.
I think one of the things that transcends generations are, you know, it's hard work, respect, discipline. And we talk a lot about the millennials and the new generation, and they want certain things. But as coaches and leaders, we also have to teach them these things that they may have, you know, skipped along the way. If you're a great talent and you make it to the NBA by 19, you don't know what adversity is. Mm-hmm. You know, so when you come to the league and we tell you to fight through adversity and be mentally tough, they have no idea what you're talking about.
What are you talking about, coach?
Right. Since they were a kid, you know, they've just been better. Yeah. They've been more athletic, more, you know, faster, mm-hmm. more skilled. Mm-hmm. And by the time they come to the NBA, it's the first time that someone says, hey, you're not as special as you think, because there's a whole league of guys just as talented as you.
Yeah.
And so you try to teach them. The only thing that's going to separate you now is how coachable you are, your attitude, because everyone has the same physical abilities and skills. Yeah. So if you could teach them that your competitive advantage can be your attitude, which will take you a long way. I played 9 years, and I averaged 4.4 points a game, four rebounds a game, and played 9 years because I understood that being a teammate was important.
Yeah, absolutely.
Showing up, being the same person each day, working when no one's watching. This is all the leadership and you know, the integrity and the character that you're trying to pass on to this younger generation.
Yeah, yeah. Wonderful, wonderful. We have a few more minutes, folks. We're gonna slide on down. But I wanted to touch on maybe one quality that we each can talk about a leader that a leader would possess. And for me, I would say it's unselfishness. It's the ability to not let it be about you. You see that I have a team. I have a group here. I have an organization here, and my duty is to empower you and to help you reach your full potential. And my duty is to help all of us fulfill whatever mission we might have. But in the end of the day, it's not about me, right? And I think if you approach leadership in that way, people model that. Then all of a sudden, it's even the people you're building, it's not about them. They're trying to build their coworker. They're trying to include their coworker because you've created a culture of unselfishness.
Right.
And none of that stuff that we've talked about makes it way in there because we are mimicking a certain characteristic that can benefit everyone involved. So I say a leader needs to have the quality of being unselfish.
I think that's so important in today's age because even in the professional level, everyone's being rewarded based on their individual play. And when you're with a team, it has to be a team thing. So if the leader doesn't care about, you know what, I don't care about getting the praise. You know, I quote Popovich a lot of times because I feel like he's done it. He's been there. He's kind of like the blueprint. But you notice like he's always praising and giving the credit to assistant coaches, giving the credit to his players. Yeah. And in return, they run through a wall for him. And that's kind of like the formula. He also has something that he says is called filling the cup. You can't keep making withdrawals without putting some deposits in there. So, you know, he takes the players out to dinner. He takes their spouses, their kids, their mom and dad, and he calls that filling the cup. And you'd be amazed by just doing some simple form of giving back to your followers and your subordinates, how far it goes and how far it take you. And that just kind of lines up with what you're talking about, being unselfish.
Absolutely.
I guess I'd have to piggyback off both of you guys. But like you're talking about, Mike, that selflessness, and, you know, because you also have, like, answered the call to take on the responsibilities of the group or of the amount of people that are, you know, you're taking under your wing, so to speak. So that idea of not making it all about you is critical to being an effective leader, because those people need to see, like, also, like I said before, that you can be led and that you can admit that you make mistakes and these small things that take the ego out of the equation. I even take it back to an old African proverb that I learned. You know, it says, if you want to go fast, go alone. But if you want to go far, then go together. And I think that gives you the sense of value in teamwork and in it all being a collective understanding and idea rather than just being about this one person trying to get this to this place alone.
Absolutely. Beautiful, brother. The if you could give us, as Adrian, like, you know, you spoke a little bit on the direction of leadership and just a snippet of where you see leadership going, the development of it.
I think number one thing to me is the authenticity. I think that you have to be transparent now. Social media has really leveled the playing field. Right. You know, what you do in the dark is going to show up eventually. So you might as well just lay your cards on the table and practice what you preach, because people are just not going for anything. I think people are becoming more, have more awareness, more consciousness of how they want to be treated as people. And as a leader, you got to take that in consideration. You need people. That's what it comes down to. If you are a leader, you need people, and you need them to be in alignment with the vision. And you have to learn how to motivate them. You have to learn how to walk the walk, meaning your actions got to align with your words. And so, again, the more that you work on yourself, the better leader that you will be for others.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, it says that the shepherd never drives the sheep.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, and so I just want to just thank you for spending this hour with us talking about leadership. I know every word that you've spoken is so true, and I believe that there are people out there that have a heart of leadership, that want to lead, that want to gain the resident skills to be able to be an effective leader. And and I know from the things that we've spoken here today, you can graft those into the vine, right? And you can make a difference, because, as you said, you know, leaders need people. And at the end of the day, we are managing people, the hearts, the lives, the ambitions. When you hire somebody new, they're like a piece of clay. You can mold them into just about anything that you or they desire for themselves to be, oftentimes we crush them into what we want them to be.
Absolutely.
And so I thank you so much. And if you are a leader out there and you're struggling with some of the things that we've spoke on the podcast today, what I will say is, you know, I'm gonna walk away with some optimism, because I have had some pessimistic views about some things I've seen, but as you have pointed out, Coach, those things can be changed.
Absolutely.
You can work on those things and you can become an effective leader, because history will speak of us somewhere in the distant future. A scribe will reach down deep into the archives of our time, and what will she find? Will she find that we overcame our differences? Will she find that out of many we became one? Or will she find that we solved nothing and remain a divided peoples? Yes, history
will speak of us.
We can make a difference if we try. We can beat the change that's in our lives. All we gotta do is work together. We gotta raise our children better. We gotta stop the hate, and spread the love.
One mic, one voice. You can change the world, it's your choice. One mic, one voice. You can change the world, it's your choice.
One mic,
one voice. You can change the world, it's your choice.
One
mic, one voice. You can change the world, it's your choice.
Today's broadcast is being brought to you by Blacken Studios. To learn more about Blacken Studios, please visit them at blackenstudios.com or visit them on their Facebook page, Blacken Studios. Today's broadcast is also being brought to you by Perry Publishing and Broadcasting. To learn more about Perry Publishing and Broadcasting, please visit their website at perrypublishingandbroadcasting.net. The opinions of the One Mic, One Voice show do not reflect the views of Blacken Studios or Perry Publishing and Broadcasting. Thank you for downloading the One Mic, One Voice show.